Oh, this is heavy. I think I'm going on a trip with my family. It's always like that. Every time we go someplace, we stand on the scale. And nowadays they say 50 pounds, one piece, 50 pounds. So we get on the scale and it's 50.2. Okay, what can we take out? Oh, we'll just talk nicely when we get up to the airport counter, and we'll say, "Oh, are you having a nice day?" And they'll kind of like forget the extra 0.2 pounds. But heavy luggage. You know, we carry around a lot of heavy luggage in our life a lot, don't we? Just seems like we're just lugging around these heavy suitcases. We used to, when we lived in the Philippines, we would take 270 pounds each. And there were four of us. And one time, I don't know if any of you have been to the Manila airport, the main terminal, but as you get your luggage and then you go out, you cross the road, and then you go down this ramp either side, and then you go and meet the people that are waiting for you over at the airport. Well, one time we had, all four of us, had two pieces each, and that was 140 pounds each times four. What's the math? 560 pounds, and I put it all on one big one of those carts, and I was trying to go down the ramp on one of the sides there in the Manila airport, and I almost lost it. That would have been bad news to see all these people, you know, bowling pins. And so thankfully some of the porter guys came and helped me take these 500 pounds of luggage. Sometimes we're like that. We just carry so much luggage with us. Today we're going to think about the topic of sanctifying grace. Sanctifying grace. This is one of the really important chapters in that book that we're reading. And there's two more copies back there if anyone wants to take one of those. But this is a really significant chapter. A lot of great insights if you have an opportunity to read that. We believe that God's work in the lives of people will bring real change to us. We're not talking theory. We're not talking about spiritual, just something really abstract. But we believe that God's work in our life really can change us. We call this change sanctification. History is full of people who have experienced life-transforming and changing experiences. People have experienced change in their life. Perhaps you're one of those people. If you look back on your life, has God made some big change in your life? In the past, you're different than what you used to be. That difference that God makes in your life, and sometimes it's fast, big, and it's obvious, and sometimes it's slower, day by day, little by little, and He changes us. God can work in the lives of believers through the power of His Holy Spirit. And sometimes this is very clear and we see it. And sometimes it's kind of like eating. You know, we just keep eating and we get stronger. We change little by little. But when we look back over time, we see how things have changed. Or perhaps if you haven't seen your family members for a while, and you see how maybe they've turned gray. I'm going to go see my brothers and sisters next year, and they'll see that I have less hair, and it's getting lighter and lighter. I'm starting to look like they are. I hope they don't watch this. But, you know, when you see someone over a long period of time, you see a lot of change in their life. And that is true in our spiritual life, too. We are set free to love God and to love ourselves and to love our neighbors in more dynamic and wholesome ways. There's two ways that this happens. One way is through God's grace. And God's grace is always prior. God's grace is always what is the power that changes us. God is our creator, and He knows just what we need. He is the creative power that transforms us and changes us day by day, moment by moment, year by year, and we see a difference in our life. But then also we need to respond to what God wants to do in our life. And so we call that faith, or trust or commitment. We prepare the soil of our hearts and our lives for what God wants to do. And so we open up ourselves and say, here I am, God. Do something with me. Change me. Use me. Fill me. Sanctifying grace is not magic, but it's a matter of faithfulness. God's faithfulness, God's given some promises, and God is faithful. And then our faithfulness to respond to what God wants to do. And so we call that the divine human synergism, which means working together. God does his part, but we must do our part. There's two passages of scripture that talk about this. God's part is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. In that passage, you can turn in your Bibles if you want. I'll just say it or quote it to you. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 23 and 24, it says this, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely." That means our whole person. "May your spirit, soul, and body be kept complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, and he will also do it." So, God can sanctify us, make us holy throughout our whole person, our bodies, so we live differently. Our souls, that we're not struggling deep within us, that sin is not our master anymore. And our spirits are new, and we have a new relationship with God. And then we have our part, though. Here's another passage. You can flip over to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. So God sanctifies, but what's our response? "Therefore, having these promises," and these promises, if we look at the context, talks about holiness and living as God wants us to. "Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." And so we have our part. We need to respond to what God's doing in our life so that we then become holy. And so God does God's part, we do our part. God's work in us happens as we work with God to name and to confess the elements of our past. And so what happens is we carry these heavy suitcases of our past. We say, okay, God, I'm going to give you my past. I'm going to give you my life. But then we realize that we haven't really given God everything, have we? Because inside of this suitcase, guess what? There's another suitcase. We haven't really given God everything. We're learning to, day by day, if we're open and we're faithful to his call and what the Holy Spirit is doing, then we see that God isn't finished with us yet, is he? So we've given God this much of our life. Yes, God. But then he's doing something a little bit deeper in us, isn't he? He's calling us. He's leading us. He's challenging us that there's more that he wants to do in our life. So we say, okay, God, I'm going to give you my present situation, my present life, the things I'm going through right now. And we realize that God still has more work to do in us. Whoa, that's our carry-on. Whoa. Okay. Well, God, I need to give you my future also. I've given him my past, all the things of my past. I've given him my present. Now I need to give him my future. As I give him my future. Wow, this is heavy duty luggage. I find that I give him my heart. I give him my heart. Most of the time we think of just kind of the mundane things of life. You know, things like, what am I going to eat today? What am I going to cook for dinner? What will I wear today? You know, do I have any clean clothes or whatever? Where will I go today? What store should I go shop at? Where is the special sales? And we just get so caught up in just the day-to-day activities that we don't think very often deeply about spiritual matters. Often spiritual matters and our deeper inner person are neglected or only thought about maybe when we're in a crisis situation, or maybe only when we maybe go to church and hear a sermon, or maybe we hear something on the radio. But most of the time, and I'm like that too, I don't think spiritual matters every second of the day. I think, okay, we got to fix dinner. What are we going to fix tonight? You know, and we just think about the day-to-day kinds of things. Sanctification calls us to a deeper look at ourselves, to look deep within our hearts, deep within that place where we do our deepest thinking, where our character is formed, where our worldview is determined, and where our values are realized. Let's look at the Apostle Peter's life for a minute and how God's sanctifying grace called him to a higher level of living. Jesus gave some commands to Peter and the rest of the disciples in Acts chapter 1. You can flip over to that passage in your Bibles if you want. Acts chapter 1, verse 6. And this is just before Jesus ascends. So he's got his disciples gathered there together and around him, and they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before them, their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going. Then suddenly, two men dressed in white stood before them. Peter's response to this and the rest of the disciples was to go and to Jerusalem, to go to the upper room, and to spend at least 10 days in fervent prayer, asking God to send his Holy Spirit upon them. And then as we turn to Acts chapter 2, we find out that's what happened. The Holy Spirit came upon them in power. And there was Peter standing before thousands of people, preaching the gospel, telling them about the resurrected Jesus. And at the end of chapter 2, we find that 3,000 people became believers because of Peter's Pentecost sermon. Now, is Peter always that way? No, he wasn't. Just turn back a page in your Bible to John chapter 21. This was after Jesus was resurrected. Peter went back to his default, which was fishing. We all have our own defaults. Things that we do that are comfortable. Things that are perhaps part of our old life. Things that we do to occupy our time. Well, Peter went back to his default of the status quo, what we normally do. So he took a couple of people out fishing. Jesus was resurrected. They had seen Jesus, but they didn't quite know what to do. So let's just go fishing. Peter had denied Jesus. He had all of that guilt and that shame hanging over him. And then Jesus came to him and told Peter, "Feed my sheep." Well, this was 40 days, at least, or give or take a few days, after Jesus' resurrection and before Pentecost. That was what we call the gap time between Jesus' resurrection and the day of Pentecost. Jesus ascended after 40 days, and then there was this time of waiting. Something happened during that time in Peter's life. Let's look at analyzing the discrepancy. Look at Peter, what happened to him. Fishing was Peter's default. That was his comfort zone. The things that he did that were comfortable. Things that he had grown up doing. That's what his job was. That's what his life was fishing. He still had not come to understand that Jesus had called him not simply to be a fisher of fishes, but to become a fisherman of people. Peter was still trying to understand all of that, all of what was happening to him. When Peter was fishing, he said, he was thinking perhaps, I've had enough. I don't know what to do. So I'm going to go back to fishing for fishes. It was there that Jesus helped him understand that Peter needed to go fishing for people. Disclosing the clue to the resolution in Peter's life. The answer lies in what happened on that fishing trip with Jesus. What happens is basically Jesus shows up. When Jesus shows up, things are different in our lives. These plans that the disciples were trying to figure out what to do, they were thinking in physical terms. Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? They were thinking in political ways, in physical ways. But Jesus had something deeper for them. They needed something deeper. And that deeper work is what we call sanctifying grace. What is sanctifying grace? It's when Jesus shows up. Jesus shows up in our life and he says, I've got something more for you. I've got something deeper for you. I want to do something different with you. And for those disciples, it was not just fishing anymore out on the Sea of Galilee. It was to go to the ends of the earth. And so Peter was excited about this. Okay, Lord, I'm ready now, but I cannot do this on my own. And so he and the disciples were waiting and praying for the power of the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus shows up, he gives the promise, then the Holy Spirit shows up. And so sanctification is what God wants to do in our hearts, in our lives, through the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, what we're trying to do is lug this heavy luggage around of our old life. We're trying to figure out what to do in the present life, all on our own power. And then we're so worried about our future. We're carrying all that on our own shoulders. And Jesus comes to us and he says, I've got the gospel for you. And so this was a time of seeking for the disciples. They were in a time out, you could say. A time of gap. For the disciples, this gap was the upper room. In the gaps, you and I, we wrestle with our past, our present, our future. We have to come to terms with the past. The past often leaves a mark on us. Scars, perhaps. Memories. I was just reading Facebook yesterday. And I'm part of this Facebook group that for my high school graduation, class of 1985. I know some of you weren't even born yet, but yes, I'm the class of 1985. And I don't know, I signed up for it like probably 7 or 8 years ago. And rarely anything is ever put on that. And it just kind of like showed up in all the stream of stuff that there was someone I went to grade school with had passed away. And that brought back all of these memories of my past. And I went to sleep last night thinking of all of these activities from my past. And sometimes they were not always so good, you know, and some of the things I did as a youth or as a child. But, you know, I gave that to God long ago. My past, I don't want my past to hold me down anymore. I don't want the decisions I've made, the mistakes I've made, sometimes what people have done to me. Sometimes I've been a victim. I'm just going to let that past go. Sometimes we have to come to terms with the present. We are loaded down with worries about the situation today, the pandemic. Perhaps we're worried about, our bills. Or maybe we're worried about the health of our family. Maybe we're worried about school or what we're going to do next in our life. We've got to give those to God. God wants to do something in us right now. And then sometimes we're worried about our future, especially when we're young. We're worried about what's in the future for us. For many of us, when we become Jesus followers, we sought to hand over our stories to Jesus for the sake of salvation. But unfortunately, sometimes we keep those and we try to hold on to them. Anticipating change. This is a time of seeking for the disciples in Acts chapter 2. This was a time for them to come to the point of surrender. And so sanctification, this deep change that God wants to do in our lives, is really all about surrender. It's the cost of self-denial. Lord, I'm going to give you all of these things and let you do what you want to do in my life. It's a matter of listening to the Holy Spirit deep in our lives. So turn in your Bibles over to Ephesians chapter 4. This passage really summarizes well what happened in Peter's life, what happened in my life, and what can happen in your life. Look over in chapter 4, verse 20. That, however, is not the way of life you learned. When you heard about Christ and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. Okay, put aside these old things. Okay, you've given it to God. Be remade, to be made new in the attitude of your minds. Deep down, our minds are where it's almost like our hearts. It's kind of almost the same in the Bible. You are made new in your hearts, and to put on a new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Every one of us carries old baggage. Sometimes that baggage is old sins that we haven't confessed. Sometimes that old baggage is memories that we haven't given to God, and they're trying to control us. Sometimes it's those emotional experiences that have left deep scars in our life. God comes to us with the hope of a better present and future. In our book that we're reading in the back, Way, Truth, and Life, go ahead and take one if you don't have one. In there, Dr. Busick has this statement: God not only saves us, but He transforms us. He accepts us where we are, just like we are today, but He loves us enough not to leave us there. He reimagines, remakes, and remodels us. It's like clay. God is the potter, we are the clay. And He is refining us and perfecting us day by day. Sanctification is both an instant experience, because we commit ourselves and we say, God, here I am. Do something with me now. But it's also a lifelong journey that we never really finish, because God is always doing something new in our lives. Sanctification is not a magic trick that God suddenly pulls off on our life. Just as God demonstrates throughout the whole story of the Bible, God cooperates with our faith and our obedience. We come to Him and He will change us. That is the promise. Simply put, the world apart from God deforms and malforms people. God reforms and transforms people. There are some things that sanctification does not do, and there are some things that sanctification does do. This deep work of God in our life, One thing it does not do is it does not free us from challenges of pain and sorrow. We will still have those things. But what does sanctification do in our lives? It will give us the strength to endure through these sufferings. We do not have to carry this pain and sorrow and suffering ourselves anymore. And so we give those to God, and He gives us a strength, a hope, a faith to make it through those. Something else sanctification does not do, it does not pay the bills or make us rich. But it will help us to become better stewards of our time. And it will help us not to waste our money. And it will help us to work harder and to be better stewards with our time. Sanctification will help us become better employees or employers, whichever side we are on. And so, because we have given ourselves to God, we will be blessed. And so, we don't become necessarily healthy, wealthy, and prosperous through sanctification. But God will do something in our lives to help us work with whatever we have, whatever little or whatever much we have. And so sanctification does not make us healthy, but it will give us faith for healing and peace when healing does not come, because sometimes it doesn't come. We will treat our bodies differently because we see ourselves now as temples of the Holy Spirit. And so although we may not become super healthy and strong because we've given ourselves to God, we will now have an inner peace to make it through whatever situation is before us. And then finally, sanctification will not make all of our problems go away. But it will give us peace, knowing that we do not fight our battles alone. But we have an advocate, the Holy Spirit, who lives in and through us. So I want to close my message with this question for you. Are you trying to carry around all this baggage in your life? Or have you come to the place where you can say, God, I give it all to you. Sometimes I don't understand it. Sometimes I don't know what to do. And I'm like that a lot of times. You know, God, I don't know what to do. And I just have to say, God, just be with me. You know, just be my Savior, my Lord. And when I say that, that is faith. That is opening myself to the sanctifying grace of God. And so, maybe you're like me, you just need to put your hands up and say, God, I don't know all the answers. I don't know what to do in this pandemic. I don't know, you know, what tomorrow holds. And what do you do when you put your hands up like that? Do you know you open up yourself? You're not like this. You're not like this, but you're like this. And so you open up your heart to God. And then God will come in with His Holy Spirit. And He will change you. He will give you faith. He will strengthen your willpower. He will show you a path to walk that maybe you didn't see before. He will give you assurance when the weight of the world is really heavy upon you. Family, work, sickness, whatever it might be. And so He is with us. And that's the promise of sanctifying grace for us today. Let us pray. Oh Lord God, I pray for my brothers and sisters here today. Lord, that You would just help us to see deep within ourselves and not to try to carry all of these uncertainties and all of our past, and to try to fight sin and temptations and all of the spiritual struggles we have, Lord, but just to give ourselves to You. And so we just pause now as we prepare to close our service, Lord, to just to seek Your help, to seek Your presence, To be like those disciples on the day of Pentecost, just praying in deep earnestness for your Holy Spirit to come in freshness and in power. And as on that day of Pentecost, they experienced your presence in vivid and special ways. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would do that in our lives again, each one of us here. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.